Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning, of course, to the little book of Jude, the end of your Bible, the last book in the Bible, but one, the Epistle of Jude. The hymn we sung this morning suits very, very well our study, for we're looking at the verse 21 of Jude. Verse 21, and it reads, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The two important phrases in that verse, first of all, keep yourselves. This is a personal duty that you have to engage in. Keep yourselves in the love of God, then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what we're to bear in mind as we seek to keep ourselves. Bearing in mind that one day the Lord is coming back and we must ever be prepared. So we must keep ourselves ready. We must keep ourselves in such a condition as to be ready to meet the Lord. That's our verse then today. This is study number 19. We're getting very close to the end of this little book, but it's still has plenty of things to say to us. Now, I want you to notice that this verse follows on from what we looked at in the last study. The previous verse, the verse 20, look at it. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, notice the link, building up yourselves. That's what the verse 20 says. And then the verse 21 says, keeping yourselves. There's none of you here remember this building being erected. None of you. It's quite a few years ago, but I can remember when this area here was just a building site. Cement mixers, piles of blocks, heaps of sand, all used in the building of this structure. But when it was built, when the last nail was driven in and the last brick was laid and everything was grand, there's something else had to then continue. What? Well, building it wasn't just enough. It had to be maintained. It had to be kept. And you will have seen at least one man working outside, repairing defects, breaches, making sure there were no leaks in roofs, fixing spoutings and all this sort of thing. Because it's not enough just to build a building, it has to be maintained. It has to be kept. And that's the same for you. We build ourselves up. That's very proper. Strengthen our faith in God, our knowledge of the Bible. We grow in grace, but we have to watch ourselves, keep ourselves, preserve ourselves. You're alive today. But if you had to cross the road, what would you do? Look both ways? Make sure there were no cars that would injure you? That's keeping yourself safe. That's looking after yourself. Well, you have to do that spiritually as well. And it's important for us to notice this truth. Well, the first thing I want you, please, to learn this morning is that it's our duty. Understand that. Now, there are plenty of people around you to help you, to watch out for you, mothers, fathers, teachers, preachers, Sunday school teachers, watching out for you. But it's your duty to keep yourselves. So it is our duty to build up our faith by the help of the Holy Ghost, and then to care for and protect what we have achieved. If we strengthen ourselves in the things of God, well, then we hold on to those things. Don't let them slip away. We don't let ourselves slide back again to what we were before we built ourselves up. There's no sense in fighting the devil, fighting sin, and fighting the world, and gaining a victory over it, only to throw it all away and go back to what we had been. Great David, and he was a great man, the Bible makes that clear, God makes that clear, but great David had progressed wonderfully he had lived many years in the victory of God's mercy and grace and power. He had come to the throne. He had seen his nation established. He had a great army. He conquered his enemies. Then one day he grew careless. And we're told in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and the verse 1 for you, if you wanted to look it up, that it was a day, the time of the year, when the men of Israel were free from agricultural duties. They were free to go out as soldiers to fight their enemies. And when that day came, this particular year, David, in a bout of laziness, didn't go out with the army. In fact, the verse indicates he lay in bed when he should have been up and going, for he got out of bed later in the evening. So he had been in bed during the day. That tells us the state of mind and heart of David. He had become careless. He didn't follow on his duties as king to lead the army of Israel and direct them in the battle. He just stayed at home and didn't bother. And that's when the devil attacked. He wasn't guarding himself. He wasn't keeping himself. And as a result, he fell into great sin. He fell into great sin. He stepped out of the will of God, left off doing what God wanted him to do, and the devil had him. The devil had him. Like a soldier in a fort, fighting the enemy. But in a moment of carelessness, he steps out through the gate, and the enemy has him. Oh, that has happened many a poor soldier, hiding in the trenches, protecting himself from the enemy, and then in a moment of carelessness, he steps out to have a look. He's hit. That happens. And it happens in the spiritual realm. Instead of keeping ourselves, protecting ourselves, looking after what it is God has given to us by his blessing, we're careless, we step out of his will, we disobey him, and the devil attacks just as he attacked David. It says he looked and he saw Bathsheba, and the rest is a very sad story. Oh, that has happened on other occasions. I'm thinking of a man called Achan. It was at the time of the siege of Jericho and the battle at Jericho. God had said to the soldiers, you are not to take anything by way of plunder. Everything in the city that is of value belongs to the cause of God. But Achan did wrong and he was hauled up, for God saw it all, even while others may not have. And he was made to confess, and what he said was, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold about 50 shekels in weight. And let me tell you that the items he mentioned there amounted to a vast amount of money. And when he saw this, I coveted them. You know what the word covet means? It means to want, desire. And when he saw this spoil, this plunder, he forgot what God said. It belongs to me, the Lord said. But he saw it and he said, I want it. I need that for myself, for my family. And he says, I took it and I hid it and it's in my tent. And he paid the price for it. He was put to death. I tell you, boys and girls, with David, one look put him on the path to disaster. With Achan, one look put him on the path to disaster. He didn't guard his eyes. He didn't guard his mind. He didn't guard his heart. But he allowed that covetousness to develop. And he put out his hand and he took that which he should not have taken. Oh, boys and girls, we have to keep ourselves. And that means guarding ourselves from our own hearts. You know what the Bible says? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, begins to grow, it bringeth forth sin. And then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Your heart can give rise to, from it can flow out, the most awful sin. The Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, but not just thoughts. The thoughts give way to actions. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And we have to watch our heart and guard our heart and keep our heart from allowing these things to spring forth in our life. That's what our text is telling us. It's our duty, yes, to build ourselves up in the knowledge of God, but then to hold on to what it is we have been enabled to do and grow by the grace of God. It is by resisting sin and obeying God's word that we keep ourselves in the love of God. I'm sure you know that sin vexes the Lord. Now, I mentioned David, I mentioned Achan, we could have mentioned hundreds more who looked at sinful things and it excited them. It pleased them. But that's not what God feels when he sees sin. When he sees sin in any one of us, God help us to keep this in mind. It vexes him. It angers God. God is angry with the wicked every day. Not just the day of judgment that's coming, but that day of judgment is born out of the fact that men during their life who disobeyed God angered God by their sin. I want you to understand that. Doing wrong vexes God, grieves God. In the early chapters of Genesis, chapter 6, we read these words in the verses 5 to 7, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. What he saw grieved God, vexed God. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Boys and girls, there is a hell today because of sin. I remember hearing, not long after I was saved, a little statement. Sin dug hell. And that's true. If there was no sin, there'd be no hell. Sin vexes God. And if we are to keep ourselves from sin, if we are to resist it, as we're commanded to do here in our text, then we must obey God and keep ourselves, if I might put it like this, on the right side of God. Keep ourselves in the love of God, for we know that sin vexes God. And it's by keeping the commandments of the Lord, we keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves with God's smile resting on us. Just like the teacher, when she brings you up and says, come, let me see your work, and you show her your work, and she says, that's very good. And she looks at you and she smiles. Now, if it wasn't very good, she would look at you, but there'd be no smile. There would be a cross face. Quite right, because by not doing good, you had annoyed the teacher. And so it is with God, boys and girls. We keep ourselves in the love of God when we obey his word and we follow what we are urged to do in the Bible. The Lord Jesus said this, listen, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide, stay in my love. That's what the Savior said. My love will surround you when you keep my commandments. If you stop keeping his commandments, you step out of the love of God. The experience of the love of God. The frown of God is now upon you. I'm sure you understand that, boys and girls. To keep ourselves in the love of God is to always think about the love of God. Contemplate the love of God. We think, how can I enjoy the love of God? How can I go on experiencing the love of God? How can I go on enjoying and knowing the love of God? Why? It's by keeping His commandments. So keeping ourselves in the love of God requires us to think about the love of God constantly, holding it in view. We're not to mind earthly things. The alternative to meditating upon the love of God is to have a mind that thinks only of the world, think only of sin. And that's the great division in mankind. You're either keeping yourself in the love of God by thinking about the love of God, how can I enjoy it? Or you're looking out on the world and you're saying, how can I enjoy the world? How can I have what the world has? You're one or the other. Which are you today? Which are you today? You can answer that question right now by just thinking of what it is your heart's saying. Does your heart say, I hope the assembly ends soon? I don't want to hear any more about the Bible. That tells us what you're thinking about. But if, on the other hand, you say, I like hearing the Bible, and I like its instructions, it helps me to do what's right and please God. If we are kept in the love of God, boys and girls, we enjoy the most wonderful peace, the most wonderful contentment. The Christian who obeys God is a happy, contented person. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It's beyond our understanding of it. It is so wonderful. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. From this verse, we thought about our duty to build up our faith and to protect that building up. We've thought that by resisting sin and obeying God, we thus keep ourselves under God's smile. Well, the last thought is, the sure evidence that we are keeping ourselves in the love of God is a looking for Christ's return. That's what our verse says. Go back to verse 21 of Jude. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That is, looking for His coming again, when we will enter into eternal life, if we're saved. And that's where the Christian is looking, ever. A Christian who's walking in obedience to God and enjoying God's love is ever looking for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Careless Christians are not looking. They're like the Christians you find spoken of by the Saviour in Matthew chapter 25. They're sleeping and slumbering. They're meant to be ready to welcome the bridegroom and have their lamps lit to guide the bridegroom, to guide him. The lamps are needed in the darkness. But these Christians are asleep. They've forgotten their duty. And I tell you again that the one who is keeping himself or herself in the love of God will be looking for the coming again of Christ. That's an incentive. That's what provokes them to walk in holiness. Jesus is coming again. I've often illustrated for you something that you know only too well. In class, if the teacher leaves the room telling you to get on with whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, but when the teacher leaves, you throw the pen down and you turn round and you begin to gabble to the one next to you, and before long you're out of your seat, and that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And then someone says, here's the teacher coming back, and you rush to get into your seat and get busy at what it is you should be doing. Well, that's the picture. We're not to forget the Lord's coming back, and we're to be found busy doing what it is He wants us to do. And what does He want us to do? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Obey His word and please Him. You can't think about the love of God without thinking about the coming again of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If you think about the love of God, it'll take your thoughts to Calvary, who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. If you think about the love of God, it'll make you think about the day you got saved and were washed in the blood. Of course, If that's not your experience, you can't remember. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So that if you begin to think about the love of God, you'll visit Calvary, you'll visit that moment you were saved, and you'll think about the coming of Jesus Christ again in glory, and you're entering into everlasting life. That's what our verse is teaching us. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto everlasting life. What a change will come to the Christian on that day. What a glorious change. You know, we're told in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like Christ. Oh, think on that. The glory, the peace, the joy that will be the portion of the Christian on that day when the Lord Jesus comes again will cancel out completely every hardship the Christian has had to endure as they walk this earth. Why were men and women, aye, and boys and girls, ready to die the most horrible death rather than denounce and deny the Bible? In the history of our nation, there have been times when evil, wicked men have taken godly men and women and young people, tied them to a stake, built a fire round their feet, and lit the fire. Why were those people ready to suffer that? Because they knew if by remaining faithful to God they were made to suffer this, there was a day when such would be the reward they would receive that it would cancel out any hardship, any suffering, any injury that wicked men might place upon them. Don't you ever forget that. That's what motivated godly men and women and young people in the past. One day God will reward us. We're looking to the coming again of Christ and the glory that he will bring. And what men do to us will be forgotten on that day. Oh, boys and girls, think on these words today, please. Meditate upon them. Keep yourself in the love of God. Mum dressed you up this morning, nice shirt and tie, nice dress, and then said, keep yourself clean. Don't be getting your clothes dirty. Well, the Lord says, I've washed you in the precious blood of my Son. Keep yourselves clean. Keep yourselves clean. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that these things will be made plain to us all, but especially to the pupils here today. Bless our school. Remember those outsiders who have come to sit exams. Lord, may they observe. Aye, and by your mercy, absorb something of the blessing of God that rests upon us here. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.